Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. We're thrilled that you're listening. If you want to call us or text us, we would love to hear from you. We were just saying, we never hear from you. Give us a call or text. 312-981-7200.
We haven't heard from them.
It's been a little while.
Jasmine, you played the wrong song. Christmas music starts today.
Is today the day that
Christmas Today's the day.
Because of why? Because
they're starting it elsewhere today.
Are they? Yeah.
It gets earlier and earlier every year, doesn't it?
You know, at two different stations that I worked at, they would have this war to be the first station to play Christmas music. And it was for a while in October. I mean, now we've advanced
really?
we can wait till at least November.
It's okay because they play some real deep cuts.
Right. Yes, they do.
Right?
Yes, they do.
I never hear Burl Ives.
No, unfortunately.
Johnny Mathis.
Chances are.
Actually, the good thing about Johnny Mathis is there was a time when I was at the light. I was at the light for 2 years during Christmas Palooza.
Turn the light on.
Yes. And I would play a game in my head where I would count how many songs in a row were being performed by dead artists. Johnny Mathis was always the one that broke that because Johnny's still with us.
Right.
But you had a lot of Bing Crosby.
You've got
a lot of
such a dark side.
It was troublesome. You know?
Are you the one who says you have a difficult time watching the old shows because everyone in the audience is dead?
Because not only everyone in the cast is dead. Like, I'll watch Bewitched, and I'll love it. And then I'll go, wow, with the exception of Tabitha, these people are all gone. And then I'll hear people laughing at one of the jokes on Bewitched, and I go, and those people are too. And
wow.
That's upsetting.
That's pretty...
You're really half full, aren't you?
I don't know. Where's the half?
I'm about a tenth full.
God.
I'm nowhere near a half full. I'm about a tenth on a good day.
Well,
no, that's not what you should be. You shouldn't be paying any attention to that, but for some reason I do.
And you can go to like probably 85% of the people who saw that Bewitched episode on its first run.
Yeah, they're also dead.
They're dead.
Yeah.
Why are you just humoring him or non-humoring him?
He's just opening my eyes to all the dead people.
Sometimes during a rain delay, you know how they'll show a clip from the 1948 World Series?
Yeah.
And the crowds are jammed with people and I go, dead, 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 dead,
dead.
That guy's dead, she's dead, they're dead, their kids are dead, they're all dead.
They are dressed up for the game and they're still dead.
Right.
Jasmine,
they wore chapeaus.
Get a real bouncy tune and let's restart the show if you can.
Play some Grateful Dead.
Okay.
All right.
Only one member of the dead dead.
No, that's true. But you would think with that name.
They're grateful they're not dead.
Oh, they're grateful they're not dead.
Yes.
Oh, I thought
grateful
they were...
not dead does not sound good.
No, but because of the name, I always assumed when they were dead, they'd be thrilled. But I'm wrong.
Let's start the show
we'll
over. Do you
over.
Have a bouncy,
start
happy
over.
Number?
Something upbeat.
Give me a bouncy C.
Oh, this is whimsical. This is... Now we're talking.
See?
This is better.
It's Christmas season, everyone, which works out perfectly because we have Lori Kane talking with us today. Tree Time, Tree Creations. They have a Tree Time Trend Tuesday, and I'm kind of ready for this. I want to start decorating.
Thanksgiving, 2 weeks from Thursday.
I have to order my turkey.
And then the minute Thanksgiving is over, it is Christmas time.
I like to get my outdoor garland up before Thanksgiving. So when I have host Thanksgiving,
you're
it
ready
looks
to roll.
Warm and wonderful
yeah,
in
I'm
our
sure
house.
That when people leave, oh, it's Christmas time.
Right. Right. As they're exiting right. Wendy's house, now it's Christmas.
This
we just
reminds
stepped
me,
into
you know,
Christmas.
Jasmine's song reminds me. Now I have to watch now. What's this movie?
Elf?
No. It's Love Actually.
Love Actually.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that's a Christmassy movie.
Oh, yeah,
we
it's
had
the best.
The best tradition in my house. The whole family would watch it. No one does it but me now. So I.
That's sad.
It's such a
Very
good movie.
Sad.
And, here we go with the death and sadness
no,
theme
no, no,
again.
No. But although there is a sad element to this. Last year on Red Nose Day...
Well, Alan Rickman, yeah.
Alan Rickman's gone. Last year on Red Nose Day, they made a sequel to Love Actually.
Oh, you're right. A little clip.
Well, it was...
It was a catch-up with the
people. A series of clips, right, to let you know what they've been doing since you last saw them. It was their characters, and it was so not good. And the movie is just perfect. It's such a great movie. But then when they did this follow-up, I don't know why, it just was not... It would
I thought it was okay.
Did you?
It was
really?
Only like 2 or 3 minutes with each character or something, and except they didn't do the Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman.
No, because she said that out of respect to Alan Rickman, she didn't feel right to come back and do it, that she needed him to be there for that to work.
And he was not going to do it.
No, he refused.
Again, you guys take it down the crapper.
We're just saying he wasn't going to do it.
He's a better actor now than a lot of actors are on their best day, Alan Rickman. Love Alan Rickman.
Yeah, I did too. I love that character.
Remember when he died, when Alan Rickman died, and the whole show will not be about death, by the way.
I guess it will be.
No, the whole show will not be about death. I can promise you. You can't fill 2 hours of regular radio and an hour on the stream just talking about dead people.
Okay,
can you?
I bet you can.
I probably could.
I think I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
We mentioned this the day after Alan Rickman died. We all came in, and I said, a testament to how great an actor Alan Rickman is that 90% of the time, he's a bad guy in movies, and yet we loved him, right? He's so diabolical and diehard, and when that movie was over, I went, I wish he was still around, that Hans Gruber. I liked Hans Gruber. That's how good he is. He could be. He was such a great villain that you just loved him.
He was a good villain.
In everything.
Well, even in Love Actually, right?
He's a really bad guy in Love Actually.
Well, he wasn't a really bad guy, but he was tempted and falling for temptation. And
yeah.
You were pulling for him.
Yeah, I guess.
You guys are like two old men on the rocking chair.
Mr. Bean
on the porch,
got his way.
Trying to get in your last gasps before you guys die.
Well, I'm not dying. Steve, you?
I might have just
I'm
died.
Not going to. I refuse. Wendy, just to spite you, I will not be dying. Take that.
I'm glad. I'm half full of what? I don't know.
Something. No, I know what it is. I know what it is. I don't know if we have time for this. No, you know what? We don't. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back. I didn't mention this yesterday. I was at a party over the weekend where they did something that I've never seen before at a party. There's no keys involved. So take that. I see that look on your face. There are no car keys involved in this. I never saw this done at a party before, but I came to respect it. I'll tell you what it is in just a little bit, okay?
All right.
Nobody died.
All right, that's
Nobody
good
died.
To know.
All right, stick around. A lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Lots of love for Alan Rickman coming in.
Deserved. Well deserved.
Did you ever see him in Bottle Shock?
No.
Great true story about a particular wine. Really good movie.
Is he a bad guy in that?
That I don't know.
I like him better. I like him good. I like him a lot when he's a good guy, but I like him better when he's a bad guy.
Kevin Costner's Robin Hood, was he a bad guy in that?
Yeah.
Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah.
His character is nice to a fault. He was amazing.
He was
I miss
pretty
him.
Good in that, yeah.
And then
Snape. He's Snape in all, I think all the, well, wait, maybe not all the Harry Potter movies. I'm trying to remember if he was in the first one. He's in most of them, if not all of them.
And he was great on Broadway as well.
I never saw him on Broadway, Wendy, but I will take that listener's word for it.
And then someone texting, is Gene Hackman still alive?
Gene Hackman is still alive.
He's
an author now, right, Steve?
I think he writes books now. Yeah. He just, you know, he's one of those guys who my theory is I want to see people as they age.
Yes.
And we may never see him publicly again. I mean, he just kind of has dropped off.
I have a crush on him.
Can I tell you who else fits that category? Not that you have a crush on, but that is such a good actor and they just seem to have vanished. There's a new version of Murder on the Orient Express coming out. I can't wait to see
it. A movie?
Yeah. So in the first version, Hercule Poirot is played by Albert Finney, who's one of my favorite actors of all time. I don't remember the last time I saw him in anything.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
And he's so good. He's always just
he is
so
good.
He always is. All right. Now, my plan here was to come back now and tell you about what happened at a party I was at over the weekend, a new trend. What I think is a new trend, but we can't right now because we have to do one of those IBS tests.
No.
We have to see if the station has irritable bowel syndrome, Wendy. We do this from time to time.
Yeah, because you're on it.
That's Jasmine, write down the time right now so we can flag this in court because I'm going to sue Wendy as soon as the show's
over. All right. That's why I was stalling because we have about 3 seconds here. Get your number two pencils ready and head to the bathroom.
How do you think you did?
On the IBS test?
Yeah.
Really well.
All right. Good for you. All right. So over the weekend, there was a gathering of people that I went to college with, and we had an improv group, right?
What was it called?
Joint Void was the name of our improv group. I don't know why.
I know, that was my next question.
The next question is, why would you name your group that?
What does that mean?
I don't know. I didn't know then. I used to ask people, and they wouldn't tell me, so I still don't know.
All right.
So all these guys got together, and it's been 30-plus years since we were all together, and it was very nice. Now, I know because I know some of them. I've kept in touch with them through Facebook. that we all have, not all of us, but some of us have different political beliefs. So upon entering this party, there was a sign on the wall, there was a poster that said you are entering a no politics zone.
Like
and then
it.
There was like a Ghostbusters sign that said politics in the middle and a slash. And I thought, this is ridiculous. We're at a gathering of adults. If politics comes up, it's going to come up, and it should come up. It's important. But as the night progressed, I realized, because everybody was having a good time, that that was actually a brilliant idea, because some of us do clash on our political viewpoints, and it may have ruined the evening. So I was just wondering, when it was all said and done, if it's come to that. Like, I know the holidays are coming up, and I know one of the things people dread the most is sitting down at a table with people who believe otherwise politically, one way or the other. And maybe, just maybe, that makes for a better night, is to just establish those ground rules right at the very beginning and say, we can talk about anything except no politics, and maybe no religion wouldn't be the worst thing either, too.
I am telling you right now, I am taking the wreath off my front door, and I am putting a no politics sign up.
It's not a bad
move.
I'm
really going to do that for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because then if someone brings it up, they get kicked out, and they don't get leftovers.
Well, I don't know about your family, but I could tell you easily a half a dozen incidents over the last several years where what seemed like an easy comment about something led to some trouble. You know, led to, you know, and believe me, I'm fine with deep political discussion or religion. If it comes to that, I'm fine with it. But calling a truce for a night or two, mm-hmm. and just saying, you know what, we're all going to be together and we have
like
some
it.
Common bond, but politics isn't one of those things that we're bonding on. So let's just leave it off. Let's just leave it outside for today. It changed my mind as the night progressed. And I have to be honest, there was one time that I did discuss it very quietly.
You broke the rules.
Yeah, I don't remember how it happened, but it just kind of naturally happened. And then I realized that, you know, somebody nearby could overhear us. So I
did you slap your own hand?
No, but I changed the subject pretty quickly. But really, like on the way home, I went, wow, I was really wrong about that, because I thought, no, you can't tell us not. We can't discuss something. This is off the board. That's not fair. But then, you know, 3.5 hours later, on my way home, I went, no, pretty good idea. I don't know who came up with it at that party, but not a bad move.
And in the past, there have been some political discussions in our family and extended family.
Yeah.
But it hasn't gotten as heated as it would now.
Right.
I mean, it did. It's not like, you know, this is something new where people fight
right.
about politics, but it is been taken to a new level now, and it really
no
could
question.
Ruin the holiday.
No question. Now, that said, there are times where Terry and I will get together with certain members of the family who are of similar mindset, and politics will come up, and it usually comes off pretty easy because we're all kind of on the same page with that. But there's other times where we've been out with people, and we know going in there's going to be some difference of opinions, maybe steer clear of it. But, you know, to have the whole party declared a no politics zone,
I like it.
Seemed extreme.
It but
seemed
it works.
Very extreme. Yeah, it did end up working. You know, I was very surprised.
All right. Well, I think Kim agrees with you. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You agree with this policy?
Well, my group of friends, we have a large group of friends that we socialize with, and our rule for a long time has been, you can't discuss politics, you can't discuss religion, but sex is okay.
Oh, all right.
Wait, discussing sex or having sex?
Well, depends on the party, I guess.
All right. Well, thank you for your thoughts on that, Kim. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Kim.
That might be the way to... I don't want to really talk sex with the family either.
You know I've mentioned this before, but I so remember so many times when my parents would have a gathering of friends over for different reasons, and politics would come up, and they would disagree about things, but it was so civil, you know? I just remember I would overhear things, or I would be in the room sometimes, and politics would come up, and they were at complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
But no yelling.
Never any yelling. Some disagreeing. Some, well, how about this? Well, how about this? Well, and then they would, you know, plead their case, and it was all over. Everybody went home happy. I don't know what changed. I don't know why it became so extreme and so angry and so bitter, but it has on both sides.
Absolutely, both sides. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, there never used to be yelling. There'd be spirited conversation.
Sure.
Now there's yelling. And I got to be honest with you, there are walkouts now.
Yeah,
where people will just get so mad and go, okay, that's it, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't ruin your holiday. Everybody's agreeing with that. 100% I agree, a sign that says no politics. And then someone suggested if I size them properly, I can actually have my fall wreath and then have the no politics sign in the middle so I can have them both.
That would work out beautifully,
wouldn't it?
That's a great idea. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then there's a whole bunch more coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging.
I have goosebumps. I'm sorry.
That's a rash, Wendy. There's a difference.
Shut up.
That's a rash.
We jokingly said we're starting the Christmas music today, but I am 100% okay with that. And it's Tree Time Trend Tuesday. We're going to give you all the latest Christmas decorating trends with Tree Time's Lori Kane. Lori, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, guys. How are you?
I get goosebumps when I hear Christmas music. I really do. I'm ready.
It's the time. We are ready.
Lori, you're working there at Tree Time 12 months out of the year. Is there any time where you just say to yourself, no, that doesn't feel at all like Christmas? You're surrounded by it constantly.
You know, actually for us, this is going to sound really weird. It's kind of more different when everyone else celebrates Christmas with us. We spend so much of the time celebrating it by ourselves.
Really?
We have to finally have everybody join us. Yeah.
Oh,
it's like,
all right.
It's like finally, it's like having a party where no one comes.
Oh.
Now everyone gets to come to the party.
Oh, all right.
All right. So what do you have going on? Like Saturday, you have a little demonstration. What are some of the trends this week?
Okay. So one of the trends that we have going on, so Christmas now is kind of expanded to become more like fashion and more like interior design, where people aren't just doing Christmas trees that are necessarily like red and green. They're saying, I kind of want to think out of the box. I want to have a Christmas tree that follows my house or follows fashion. And so the Christmas designers that supply to us are coming up with these cool ideas. So one of the trends this year started kind of back in 2016. It's kind of an interesting story because it was this blush color that the people who set a lot of the color trends for the year, this company called Pantone, and they decided in 2016 to do two colors. It was a rose quartz and a serenity blue. And they put a lot of research in the colors they picked. So they picked these two colors because they thought people needed to be more tranquil, and they needed a connection to wellness and stuff based on all of our kind of crazy social media things. So they picked this rose quartz, and it's taken off. Everybody loves it, and now it's showing up in Christmas. So
can I just tell you that when I'm looking at Christmas lights, something about the blue lights really, and I don't mean like Kmart's blue light special.
Yeah.
There's something soothing and wonderful. It creates this really relaxed feeling in me when I see blue lights. So does the rose quartz have that calming effect as well?
Yes. So that rose quartz, they've studied the color, has a calming effect, and it kind of brings you back to, you know, kind of, you know, more childhood type of place. And maybe those blue lights bring you calm, too, because that might be what you remember growing up, right?
Well, we had all different colors. We had always had a multicolored tree.
Mm-hmm.
But something about blue lights to me just makes it warm and comforting. And that's this time of year where you want to just be in your house and cuddle with anyone who comes by.
And that's kind of what we're trying to do with Christmas. We're trying to give you a way to, you know, a lot of times you have people over for Christmas and things like that. So a way to make your house be really inviting. You add light, you add this blushy color, and people just kind of feel like hanging out and having fun with you. So that's really our goal.
And it has a more nostalgic, old-timey feel
it
too, doesn't it, Lori?
It does, because it's kind of like the modern Victorian. You know, like before, Victorian has always been a Christmas theme. But this blush is kind of a new, cool, trendy, like even the millennials are liking this blush color. So it's and they're mixing it with silvers and gold. So it kind of, it's calming, but it's got a little of a bling feel, and it kind of just kind of takes your decorations up a notch.
So is the actual tree itself like a blush color?
No, the actual tree that we've done, so we got our inspiration from someone in the Mart who had actually done a tree for Queen Elizabeth, and the tree is actually silver. And with that silver tree, you put in the blush and the cream and the champagne, and it just all reflects it. And it's hard to tell that the tree's real silver. You have to really look carefully. But when you look, it is. It gives it a wholly, totally different look.
You can head to Tree Time, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. You are also on social media as well, aren't you guys? TreeTime.com, of course, and Twitter and Facebook, It's Tree Time, correct?
Yes, that is correct, yes.
Here's what I love about what they do. Everyone has a Christmas tree, and they do with it what they're used to, what they've grown up with, which is ornaments and tons of lights. I like lots of lights. Mm-hmm. But if you go to Tree Time, there are these, I don't know what they're called, they're like little sprigs, I guess, that you can stick in the tree to make it more, just more lush and plush and beautiful. What are those called? Do you know what I'm talking about, Lori?
Yeah, we call those floral picks, or just picks. Kind of a florist term, but yeah, that's what we call them, picks.
And it just fills it out.
It
fills
totally
the scene
does.
Out, right?
Right. So they're all different. Like, so if you have a plain tree, you could add like a frosted pick, or if you have you could add a long needle pine pick, or a floral pick, or berries. So it just takes your tree, and, you know, even if your tree isn't quite as beautiful as it used to be, it can really bring it back to life and give you a lot of cool looks.
Lori, with the tree you described, the rose quartz tree, my guess is that's predominantly marketed towards women, right? Or is it not?
Okay, so that was one of the reasons that the Pantone people picked rose quartz a couple years ago, was they saw this blush color being appealing to both men and women
really?
In the future, okay?
Yeah.
Yes. So they saw that as kind of like if people get exposed to more more gender-neutral things, that it would be a color that everyone would just find calming. And we have really paid attention to the males' reaction to the tree, and we've been pleasantly surprised that they have liked it.
I liked it. It wouldn't be, for me, it wouldn't be my first choice, but I did enjoy, I liked the look. I liked the retro feel to it.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were a little nervous saying, okay, we want to appeal to all of our customers, but we paid careful attention to that. And I think that people have all been open to it. It's a cool look. It, like you said, it might not be your choice, but the men have enjoyed it.
And that's
the
one that Queen Elizabeth has.
That's right, that Queen Elizabeth had when she came over for her party. They decorated her.
Although she had all superhero ornaments, which I would not have thought about for Queen Elizabeth.
Yes,
a big Hulk fan.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man. Yep.
All right, well, it's a Tree Time Trend Tuesday. Lori Kane, owner of Tree Time. You can go to treetime.com. And we are giving listeners a chance to win a $250 Tree Time shopping spree. So you can update your holiday decor with your favorite trend, whether it be this crushed on blush tree or whatever. You can enter online at WGNradio.com/contests. If you've never been to Tree Time, you're missing something huge. Go to 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. And Lori, at 2 p.m. this Saturday, tell us what's happening then.
We're going to have a class, and we will be demonstrating how to, I think it's Pinterest idea, of how to just take your Christmas decorating up to the next level in an easy way. So we really want to focus on doing things that are approachable and easy for our customers. They all seem to appreciate that. So we'll be showing you, we have a free class from 2 to 3 of how to do that.
Lori, I had, as you know, my wife Terry was out with me there a week ago and had so many good ideas. Like every time she turned around, she goes, you know, we could do this and we could do this and we could do this. And it's true. It's not hard to do.
That's really been our focus, is we know people are busy and we know they have a lot on their minds. But we're just trying to show you, you know, hey, here's a few quick, easy things you can implement. So that's our goal, is to help you just implement a few cool things that can help you have a cool Christmas decor.
It's a real life Pinterest page.
Right.
You can walk through it and get some great ideas.
That's right.
Steal our ideas, not our ornaments. It says it right on the front door.
Awesome. Well, we will talk to you next week, and good luck. 2 p.m. on Saturday. You can go get some more Christmas ideas. It's Tree Time, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. You can also go to treetime.com. Everything Christmas, treetime.com. Thank you. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you, guys. All right. Have a great day.
You too, Lori. Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break, and then it's Tech Tuesday. We'll find out what's going on in the world of technology next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Bill, it's a Tech Tuesday, and all I want to say is I don't hang out on YouTube too much.
Yeah.
I know my kids do. I bet your daughters do. There's a lot of stuff going on YouTube. We have senior editor at CNET, Bridget Carey, on the line with us, and it's not all innocent on YouTube right now, is it?
Not for kids. I mean, to say that there's junk on the internet makes you roll your eyes. Of course, the internet's full of stupid junk, but there's a conversation happening right now online that was brought to light through some bloggers who were pointing out how much there is specifically on YouTube designed to lure in children with ad clicks by just having mind garbage that they might watch because they're typing in the word Spider-Man or Elsa. And the way that YouTube's machine algorithms work is that they will give preference to things that hit a lot of keywords, things that have a certain amount of length of watch time. And then suddenly your kid who watched one Spider-Man or one Peppa Pig video may see this as a recommended one that autoplays next and has nothing to do with Spider-Man. It is not Peppa Pig. It, in fact, is something that sometimes is designed as malicious in a way and kind of sick. I've seen a few of them, and I'm kind of worked up about it. Other times, it's just nonsense, and your kids are just watching and kind of, like, entranced in garbage that was made with 3D animations that were cheap, and it has no value to it, but millions of kids are watching. I can give you some examples.
Yeah, is it, like, sexual? Is it violence? Is it both?
Okay, some of it is violent, and some of it is just nonsense. When you're a parent of a toddler like I am, you may go search for nursery rhyme videos as a quick fix to a temper tantrum at a restaurant. Right.
So there
are a lot of companies who will just pump out, 3D renderings of bunnies and whatnot, and these songs called the Finger Family. I actually saw my babysitter play one for my kid, and I'm like, that's weird. I've never even heard of this stupid song, but. Apparently, it is a mass sensation that everyone's making this Finger Family song where, like, it's literally a hand with little people for fingers, and it just repeats over and over again, and they change the visuals. They make the visuals into Elsa from Frozen, Disney characters. And like, okay, so it's mind-numbing, and it just auto-plays the next one and the next one and the next one. All right, it's innocent but stupid. But then there gets to be the ones where your kid might be searching for Peppa the Pig. And they're looking, Peppa the Pig Goes to the Dentist is maybe one episode of the show. But instead, that's the title, but instead what plays is someone created a visual of Peppa the Pig with a mouthful of teeth screaming.
Oh, my God.
As a dentist is scraping sounds off teeth, and it's all computer generated, so it's not really from a show. And your kid could be getting traumatized and not realizing it, that they're watching something. There's also a mass amount of people, so it's not all animated. There are actual human being people and children making mindless videos about opening toys. We've heard about this where kids will just watch toy unveiling and toy opening. And sometimes these are
Wait, I got to I know you're worked up, but Bill's laughing, but there are like unboxing.
Favorite.
No, I don't watch it.
Your kids do though.
My 14-year-old's with like new Nintendo Super NES and things like that.
Why would you watch a video though of somebody just opening up something?
Because you want to see what's included in the box. It's very popular, and then when you get yours, you know what to expect.
Well, it's one thing to say here's an unboxing of a $1,000 phone, and you want to see what the accessories come with the video game system or whatever. We're talking like here is a Puppy Pals thing. Watch, I'm opening the box. Isn't this fun? And autoplay the next one. Here is a princess playset. Open it up. It's almost like crap to these kids watching consumers, and I wish I could open presents. And then there's people who just open up candy. Mmm, chocolate bar. And a girl just eats it with her mouth open. Mmm, lollipop. And she eats it with her mouth open. And you're like, ew, it's kind of disgusting. And then there's like grown men, like the fathers you assume, who are like, Thomas the Train. He smiles really wide, holds it in front of the camera. Isn't this great? And he's have millions of views. And so your kids are just watching this this mind garbage.
So, Bridget, kids are getting suckered in to idiotic content and false promises much the same way we adults have been getting suckered in for the last 4 or 5 years, right?
You know what? We have unevolved monkey brains.
I know that. Thank you, Internet.
And no, seriously, it's all tapping into that thing that's in the back of our heads of like, why can't I pull away? Why do I keep scrolling on Facebook? But we have to be really careful because all that stuff I mentioned is still safe for kids on YouTube. So if you hand your phone to your kid and go, sure, I have the privacy safe kid YouTube channel on, it's still safe. It's still garbage. You still have to watch. I know it sounds like it's common sense to know what your kid's watching, but you just don't realize how twisted some of the stuff is.
Sure.
Look it up. I've seen things that it's hard to explain, but it's so mentally twisted, like Batman and the Joker kicking each other with their heads decapitating and then screams of babies and candy. And it's literally like a random assortment of things that are computer generated. And you just keep watching and it makes no sense. And it makes you sad that like kids are absorbing it because they
sure.
have billions of views.
And think about us. I mean, you know, I'm older and I didn't grow up with a smartphone in my hand. But now that I have one, I'm pretty hooked on it, I have to admit. So then kids who have always been around these cell phones and smartphones are completely hooked. If babies are getting hooked now, we're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah, you have to look at content that I'm now at a point where I'm telling my babysitters, you know what? You need to watch a video before you just search for something, you know, to show. And two, like, let it have to be curated stuff like Sesame Street. I'm paying for HBO. Let it be Sesame Street for that reason. Let it be, you know, things on Netflix that I've approved. Let it be educational Nick Jr. stuff, because it's too much out there that they're just making a quick ad buck and they're not, that there is no encouragement for people to make money on YouTube and have it be actual worthwhile content that they spend time on.
Is it as bad as Real Housewives? It's not, yeah. Is it? It's not.
That's a good question.
All right.
Well, you are obviously riled up about this, as you should be, because, you know, it is a different era. And when your kid is having a tantrum or you're waiting at a doctor's office and you've been there for an hour, a lot of times you do hand your phone to the kid. So good to know about this. Be careful, parents. Also, something coming up on the iPhone, which was all over the news yesterday. Bill and I both have iPhones. And when you go to text someone and you punch the letter I in there, it gives suggestions.
I'll.
And ours are fine, but Steve Bertrand had problems with that, where this little A with a box around it and a question mark comes up. Why? First of all, what is it, and why is it only happening on some iPhones?
Well, this seems to be linked to the latest software update. So another case of like, it's good to wait on your software updates in case there's something really stupid that is a bug. Apparently, when people were typing the letter I, it was auto-correcting to an A with this weird symbol and a question mark because if you weren't careful and you just kept typing and you hit send, I've seen lots of things on Facebook and Twitter from my friends that have that replacing the word, the letter I. So it looks like A question mark this, A question mark that, because they're going too fast and they're embarrassed and then they don't take it down, you know. So you just be a little more cautious over – it's a terrible bug. And apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, Apple's working on a fix. So until there is a fix, just notice that Apple and the iPhone may autocorrect and change your letter I, thinking it's a misspelling, and autocorrect it to something that's garblegook, you know. So, yeah.
And which EOS, as Bill calls it, which iOS is this, 11.1? Because I'm looking and I have not updated it yet, and maybe I'll wait.
Well, it looks like it's 11.1, yeah. So it's the newest version of 11.1.
See, Bertrand was trying to be ahead of the curve and updating, and
yep.
He got screwed by it.
Bridget, I just watched the video of Batman and Joker kicking each other. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I'm going to watch it again.
Your brain is already formed.
Yeah, well.
So you're in trouble.
Deformed. Yeah, it's great, though. Bridget, thanks so much. We hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, you too.
That's Bridget Carey from CNET, everybody.
Riled up.
Yeah, a little bit riled up.
She does have a toddler, and times are way different. Like, you know, when our kids were born, it's way different now.
Oh, yeah. But it is so easy to get suckered, as we've mentioned before. You get suckered into stuff, and, you know.
I got sucker written on my back and my forehead.
You do. A quick break, some news, more show, Bill and Wendy WGN.
Thank you, Mr. Bertrand. We appreciate it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And it is a Tuesday here on WGN.
When you said Mr. Bertrand, I had to look into the newsroom to see if Steve's dad was in. I swear, I looked out there. I'm like, I've never met Steve's dad. This will be so exciting.
Didn't you meet him at the Walk of Fame?
He wouldn't talk to me. Would not talk to me.
He said, which one's left?
Yeah, and then he stayed away.
I had a lovely conversation with him.
I don't blame him.
All right, so with all this stuff going on in the world these days, and I'm not going to make anything specific, I notice a lot of people are saying my thoughts and prayers are with you.
Sure. That seems customary, doesn't it?
But it seems very formulaic now and doesn't... It doesn't.
You don't think it seems genuine?
I think it is genuine, but I think it's just overused.
I'm not a prayer, but when I say that, I mostly mean thoughts, because seriously, when something devastating does happen, I do tend to think about it a lot, so that's genuine.
But don't you see it everywhere now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
It seems the thing to say, doesn't it?
I try to never put that. Like, I am so sorry to hear this.
Yeah.
Positive vibes coming your way, or I'll be thinking about you.
Well, those are all variations, though, on the same theme.
Yeah, but just it's so easy to put thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers.
Right.
Well, Cardinal Supich, Blaise Supich, now says thoughts and prayers for shooting victims are not enough. He was talking yesterday. He called for a ban on assault weapons. He said offering thoughts and prayers for victims of Sunday's mass shooting at a Texas church is just not enough.
It's a good start. It's not enough, but it's a great start. You know,
yes.
Just to let them know that this isn't going without thoughts or prayers, obviously. So, you know.
Well, he said that's not enough. And no. Chicago Cardinal Blaise Supich was speaking at the University of Chicago yesterday. He said, quote, we need to take action. We need to tell our legislatures that we need to ban these high-powered weapons. And this is not the first time that Supich has called for tougher gun laws. And it turns out that he's a hunter.
Is he?
And a supporter of hunters' rights.
Huh.
He was as pointed as he has been in his criticism of Republican politicians who toe the NRA's line on gun control and have offered their prayers after Sunday's atrocity, but none has supported an assault weapons ban.
I know this is stereotyping, but when I think of men of the cloth, I don't expect them to be hunters, because you would almost think that their mindset is one of God's creatures.
Yep.
It would be wrong to take them out, you would think.
It says he's a keen hunter and supporter of hunters' rights. He also said, Blaise Supich said yesterday, when the hunting sport has human prey, we have to take action. Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree with him more.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Am I wrong about not expecting him to be? For some reason, when I think of guys who are priests, rabbis, ministers, hunting isn't the first thing I imagine them doing, for some reason.
I guess there were hunters and gatherers
in olden times,
in biblical times,
yeah.
Because they had to eat. They didn't have know whole foods to go to.
But wouldn't you, like you and I have talked about, just the small act of killing an insect.
I know. I feel bad.
This is somebody's mother or brother or cousin or uncle, or even though
this one shocks me. I gotta tell you,
I'm a little surprised too that he's a keen. They describe him as
a keen hunter.
A keen hunter.
Is a keen a type of animal?
I don't know what it is. No, he's just a fan, I guess.
Supich described the murder of 26 worshippers as a violation of our relationship with God and with one another. While he said mental health services offered to the killer should be looked at, the time, however, for expressing sorrow and leaving it at that, it's over. It's time to act.
Right.
Let's start with these high-powered weapons, says Blaise Supich. Both state and federal law need to change to make these guns not available. We don't need military weapons in our society. We're not supposed to be at war with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Supich also said he was sympathetic to those among his flock who may be reluctant to go to church following this mass shooting, but he said failing to attend would, quote, only let these people win.
He's got something there.
He totally does.
Did you see that Kellyanne Conway said that a discussion about gun control right now would be disrespectful to the people who died the other day?
I don't see how that would be disrespectful
at
all.
Just the opposite. I think it would be as respectful as possible to say we need to do something so that innocent people like this don't die. Not only is it not disrespectful. It's extremely respectful.
And my question to you or anyone else listening is, when this killer was removed from the Air Force, they did not report that he was kicked out to the FBI. Had they done that, he wouldn't have been able to legally buy a gun. So what does the Air Force have to say about that? How come that wasn't reported?
I don't know why. I'm not sure why.
Because he bought the guns legally.
Yeah.
And that seems like a major flaw. If someone's discharged from the Air Force, somebody should be made aware of it.
Right.
I don't know what the answers are, but we do have to do something. Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to weigh in on this. Many years ago, I was married to a man who was an ex-convict from the state of California. The federal government said he could never buy a gun. The state of Illinois said he could after 10 years, and boy, did he. He beat me. He held a gun to my head, and I got away. This guy beat his wife and his child, and he was walking the street. So strangers are fair game to him. That's the answer. These men need to be put in jail and kept there for abuse, not given a slap on the wrist. It's not gun control. It's criminal control.
Can I ask, Pat, what reasons did they give you for not taking more action against him?
Well, because it was the 80s and it was the old boys network. And when I called the police, they took him out in the back and gave him a cigarette. And they took me in the front and said, well, you know, and they said, you know, you shouldn't hit him and blah, 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 blah. And it was a big farce. It was a big farce.
That's a shame that more wasn't done for you, Pat.
Well, I took matters into my own hand, and I am alive today and doing well and trying to pay it forward and help other women who are in the same, and I've helped many women who have been in the same position. But if these men were in jail and punished for this crap, they wouldn't be out buying more guns. And you, did you get my point about the state, the federal and the state being in direct contention with each
other? Yeah, they seem to be, don't they?
And you're right. Yeah. This guy did abuse his wife and child and was kicked out of the Air Force. But why weren't there criminal charges?
Exactly. I mean, it's a child. I mean, for me, it was just me. I was able to get away. Had it been my child, I would have been in jail and you guys would have been trying to get me out. So,
right.
I mean, it was just me.
Yeah.
And I took matters into my own hand and did what I needed to do, and I'm alive today.
So but glad you are.
Well, you know, I made the best of a bad situation and took control of my life.
And Pat,
that's all you can do is control your own life.
This is 30 years ago. This is 30 years ago, and things haven't improved dramatically, have they, in 30 years?
No, they have not. They just have not. And this guy was dishonorably discharged and walking the streets with guns. There's the answer. It's not gun laws. It's putting criminals behind bars and keeping them there. That's my humble opinion.
We appreciate your humble opinion, and good luck in future healing as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye,
thanks,
guys.
Pat. Take care.
Blaise Cupich went on to say voters should put pressure on politicians to enact an assault weapons ban. Let's not be naive about this. This is a money issue. It's nothing about the Second Amendment. It's about people who want to make money on these weapons and really don't care about the human cost.
Right.
There is no reason to have assault weapons in a public use.
Right.
Is there? For any? Aren't they made to kill people?
In droves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, and even the NRA came out against the bump stock, and why? How can we not do something? I don't get it.
No, it's amazing. And I don't understand it. All right, your thoughts on this, you know how to reach us, right? 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us at that number again, 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy. Yesterday in the Chicago Tribune, Cardinal Blaise Cupich said, thoughts and prayers for shooting victims are just not enough. We have to do something about this. Voters should put pressure on politicians to enact an assault weapons ban. Let's not be naive about this, he said. This is a money issue. It's nothing about the Second Amendment. It's about people who want to make money on these weapons and really don't care about the human cost. Scott has a thought on this. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hello?
Is this Scott?
No.
Oh, what is your name?
Mary Jo.
Hi, Mary Jo.
You made mention that Cardinal Supich is a hunter. He's originally from Omaha, Nebraska. And outside of Omaha, there's a lot of pheasant hunting that's done in the cornfields. And so that's not unusual for somebody in that area to be, you know, a hunter.
But still, that said, wouldn't you expect somebody who is a holy person, a man of the cloth, to say, I don't want to erase one of God's creatures? Wouldn't you just assume that?
Well, but there's animals out there. I mean, people do pheasant hunt. They eat them. They don't just, you know.
True.
I get that. You know, I don't. If I had to hunt food, I would be a vegetarian. I sometimes feel guilty picking tomatoes before they're ripe, so yeah. I couldn't kill an animal. So I understand people who hunt and eat it. But again, a man of the cloth, it seems very bizarre to me because it's like, you know, you think of, is it St. Francis of Assisi who is always, you know, holding birds on his hands? It's like, these are God's creatures.
Right. Well, but on the other hand, I mean, there are pheasants and they, you know, are eaten. And it isn't like he's doing big game hunting in Nebraska.
I got
That's true.
Well, thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Does he wear a camouflage collar when he goes hunting, Wendy? I don't know how he does
Thanks, Mary Jo. Stay away from Bill because someone's going to get hit by lightning and it won't be me. That, you know, camo is very popular these
very
days.
Very popular.
Although you would need the bright orange because you wouldn't want someone shooting at you.
No, that's true, too.
Why do you suck me into it?
I don't know why.
Dan has called us, 312-981-7200. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how are you?
Your thoughts?
Your past caller, Pat, she had it right on the nose. You know, it's. I know it's not to sound unsympathetic, but there's been killing from the first day of time. And if it's not an AR-15, it'll be a knife. It's not a knife, it's a gun, you know, whatever. People die every day. And it's a criminal control issue. It's not a gun control issue. And we've got a lot of laws on the books right now. And you think it's senseless to have an AR? Maybe, maybe not. But
what's an AR? An automatic weapon? Is that what I? You know,
it's semi-automatic.
To me,
the bump stocks, AR. It doesn't really matter what kind of gun somebody has. Plus, there's so many guns in the United States. There's no way to enforce that.
But what do you need an assault rifle for, Dan? Just please. Because seriously, if someone's coming at me with an assault. If someone's coming at me with a knife or an assault rifle, don't you think my chances of surviving a knife attack are greater?
Possibly. I mean, a death is a death, right?
So what is your reason for their existence? How are we benefiting from their existence?
Well, you use the term mass casualties, mass destruction. Well, the fact of the matter is people have guns so that the government can't grow too strong. And if they do try and take away things or steal our houses, steal our this, steal that, whatever, or take away our guns, we have the right to defend ourselves.
But where is that happening? Where is the government going house to house and taking our houses and our possessions away from us? I don't know where that's happening.
In the last 50 years, it hasn't happened, but who's to say it won't happen?
Well, so now that makes me feel like living in fear gives you a right to protect something that you may not have to protect. That seems like a stretch.
Okay, but I'm not using the gun to kill innocent people either.
All right, but if you're saying in 50 years the government hasn't done that, I'm pretty sure that we're in some sort of a safety zone in terms of the government doing that, but we're in no kind of a safety zone in terms of people getting guns and just shooting up.
There's so many guns out there. There's no way you're going to be able to take away
the guns from the people
that you really want to take them away from.
I agree with
you. Which is criminal protection. They got too many rights. And we've got to institute laws for criminals, not people that are law-abiding citizens that own whatever kind of gun you want.
I'm not a gun owner. I'm not a gun owner. I guess I understand people having the right to have them. And again, when it comes down to this, it's not typically a legal gun owner that commits these heinous crimes.
That's correct.
In this case, it was. He was able to obtain the gun legally because the Air Force did not talk about his dishonorable discharge to the FBI, and he was able to buy it legally.
Well, let's go back to Vegas, too. Vegas right. has he's yeah. got no track record. So what I'm getting at is if we did criminal control, we would limit the amount of gun violence by a lot, actually. But just taking away our guns isn't gonna solve the problem.
But no one's really saying we're taking them away. We're saying it's got to be harder for just anybody for any reason to go and purchase them.
And what do you need an automatic or semi-automatic weapon for, Dan? Please explain that to me. That's my big question.
I already did, though. I said
so that the government doesn't take our things.
It's a personal choice, anyhow. I'm not going to use it for innocent bystanders.
Have you ever had a day in your life, though, that you were afraid that the government was going to come to your home and take your things, take your house, take your possessions?
And you would shoot them to protect your things because then you'd go to jail and wouldn't be able to have your things.
No, I wouldn't protect my things, but I would protect my family.
But the government...
Let me ask you a side question, then. So if you're comparing something that's intimate to me...
Right.
Let's say they wanted to, for whatever reason, propaganda, ISIS, whatever, people are trying to... get other members in ISIS on the internet or on the radio, and we want to take your way for your microphone. What would you say about that?
Well, taking away my microphone or me having the microphone won't kill anyone.
Well, I'm not going to kill anybody with my AR-15.
But you said you would if it came down to it. And I hate to say this, Dan.
If I felt my family needed me to protect them, I'd kill them in a heartbeat. Regardless of what color that they were wearing.
I get that, too, because, you know, you think about if you want to protect your family, you would. We've talked about this off the air. You would do whatever you could to protect your family. But I don't see the government coming to take your family or your stuff.
Criminal control. That's what you need.
I agree with you there.
Dan, in my lifetime, the government's never been nuttier than it is right now, and still, as nutty as they are, I have absolutely 0% fear that they're going to come and try to steal my things or harm my family. I just don't see
I'm not trying to sway you guys. I'm not trying to convince you that you should own an AR-15, you should own a bump stock. I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah, I know.
What I'm trying to convince you of is people have choices in life, and these criminals have choices to do something stupid or not to do something
stupid. Right, I agree with you there.
I just think that we really need to enforce the laws that are on the books.
That would be
the
nice.
People that shouldn't have guns that are mentally deranged, they shouldn't be able. Let me just mention one more thing.
All right, go
Do
quick.
You realize if you apply for a FOID card, what it takes to get a FOID card from Illinois? The state police doesn't want you to have guns. They just don't.
Yeah.
Your application gets lost 15 to 20 times. So If you're not a gun owner, so you don't realize this, but the fact of the matter is, there's already a deterrent for legal citizens that do nothing wrong. And that's just the state not wanting to give you guns, not wanting you to have the capability of legally owning a gun.
Well, somehow everybody's getting
them. At least in
Illinois. You know what? We're out of time, but Dan, I have to tell you, it was enjoyable having a conversation with you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan. Have a good day. All right, let's do this. We must break. News is next, and then after the news, Frank Fontana joins us. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we are joined by, you're a celebrity. You're a designer. You're a lifestyle expert. His name is Frank Fontana. You can catch him on Sunday afternoons 1 to 3 on this station, which I do.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But there's one more thing that I have to say when introducing you, and what is it?
I'm a proud father of a new puppy. That's not it. But I am, though.
Bill was not very excited to hear that.
No, I wasn't.
What's
her name?
His name is Mickey.
Oh,
but not Mickey Mouse.
No, Mickey Dog.
Mickey Dog.
Right.
But Mickey Donovan.
Mickey Donovan. Because Mickey Donovan. Why? Because of your love of Ray Donovan?
You're right.
Is that why?
That is right.
Is he a wheeler and dealer like on Ray Donovan?
He's sketchy, my little. He's a little mini poodle.
You got a sketchy dog?
Yeah. A mini poodle.
He pees everywhere.
What's more fun than that, huh?
It's not fun. I haven't slept in 40. Look at me, Bill.
I know.
I look like a wreck. I'm tired.
Here's an idea. You're supposed to train him to go outside.
Well, here's an idea. You live close. Come over and help.
No.
Because I can't. I'm trying.
Right now.
These microphones are falling apart.
So if you had a friend that just came to your house and wet the rug everywhere he went, you'd probably not invite that friend over anymore,
never.
Would you?
Right. No.
You still invite my husband over.
This is true. But he's so cute and cuddly.
Yeah.
I like to scratch his belly.
He enjoys it, I got to admit.
Starts kicking
that leg. Especially with a lightsaber. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you are now... congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, I have officially added the title, because I need to work more, of real estate broker. I've signed
Oh,
with...
Oh, really?
Yeah. I did the class and passed the test. And, you know, it's a natural lateral for me because
it's
of
perfect.
What I do. I design, I build, and now I sell.
Will you turn homes over now? Will you buy stuff that needs some repairs and fix
Possibly.
It and
then
turn
it's
it
in
over?
The game plan. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's partly why I did it was to do that. And the other part is I love homes. I love design and I love seeing people be really happy.
Yeah.
And when people are happy and they get a big check because they sold their home really fast, that excites
That's
me
happy.
Because I actually help them design it. And this is a true story. A lot of my clients are designing to sell. And I didn't have my license at that point, but they always kids. Frank, if you can only just sell it now, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to them, and now I'm selling too.
That's excellent.
Well, here's the thing. And Frank, you did a great job on. We had an unfinished basement, and I hired you to kick ass, and you did.
Thank you.
And now we have a finished basement, which is wonderful. Jimmy Mack has his studio for his podcast, Rebel Force Radio. It's amazing. It's perfect for us. You helped us come up with a plan.
Thank you.
And now finishing a basement is one of those things that you're going to get a return investment on, correct?
Absolutely. Basements, you know, basements are definitely on the list. Kitchens are on the top of the list.
That's our next mission.
Yes, which we're working on now.
And bathrooms, right?
Bathrooms would be the third. Yeah, exactly.
But the one that always I would have assumed would increase your value, but I keep hearing the opposite. If you put in a pool, that actually harms you. It doesn't help you.
In Chicago, it hurts
you.
Yeah,
it hurts you, doesn't it?
It's a lot of maintenance.
I guess.
And makes the house way more expensive.
It does.
I mean, if you have money to burn, money burning a hole in your pocket like you do, Bill.
I have a lot of money.
Buy a house with a pool.
For you, I'd put a tennis court in your backyard.
I would love that.
Right?
Yeah.
There are people, there's a house in LaGrange that has a tennis court in their backyard.
That would be the best.
I can try and get their names so you can go play there.
I know who they are. They're my friends. I would tell you.
My yard is just a little small, so would I have to ask my neighbor's permission if the court was to go into their yard a little bit?
Yeah, you'll be charging for it. You can split the fees and everything.
That's true. All right. Wow. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
What a great idea.
No, there's definitely some things, you know, and why I love the idea of, you know, selling real estate as well as designing it and building it, which, by the way, I did partner with Coldwell Banker Residential.
Mm-hmm.
I got to give a shout out to my managing broker, Trish Roberto's awesome. She's a rock star. So for me, like I know what to do in a home to make it look great.
You really do.
Well, thank you. And I'm not just tooting my own. I've been doing this forever. You know, like
you
I wrote books on it.
Such a great eye.
Thank you.
And you deal with the customer. It's not just coming in and taking over.
It's not. It's a relationship. You know, Wendy, you and I worked together for almost 6 months doing your house. It's a relationship, you know, and sometimes those relationships get rocky, you know, just like a marriage. And I tell my clients as soon as we meet, it's like we're like going to be married. You're going to hate me at times. You're going to love me at times at the end. You know,
but who gets the deciding vote? If there's something that you guys disagree about, it goes to the homeowner.
Of course, they're paying for it.
Yeah.
You know, I will object. You know, I will certainly speak my mind because then I'm not doing a good job if I don't.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're hiring me to yes me, then fine, whatever. You know, but I don't do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I will tell you exactly how it is.
But now you can show them a computer rendering of what it will look like.
Yes.
You can show them finished product.
We
right?
do. We do full blown 3D renderings in our company that are phenomenal. They're better than the real thing sometimes.
Really?
Which gets us in trouble because they're like, well, the rendering looks so much better. Well, you know, you pick $2 tile. That's, you know, $15 tile. It certainly helps in explaining the vision.
Yeah.
You know, I recommend it, and it's not that expensive. You know.
And if I just can say, we had some vents in our basement that we could have had moved and made a better arrangement, but that would have been more money. And you were 100% honest about that.
Yeah.
We really should have moved our stairway to make for more room in the basement, but again, more money.
More money and Pandora's box.
Exactly.
With your house in particular. That
it's an old one.
Do you ever want to move a staircase, though? That's a lot. You don't want to do that, do you? Have you?
It's not fun.
No, I bet not.
It's not. In these old homes that we're talking about are like, you know, 1860s. And there was no laws about width or railings,
right?
Which don't exist in either scenarios. But they're grandfathered in.
Yeah.
But if you touch it, then you're done. The city comes in and you have to do it to code, which means you may be busting out walls you never intended to. And then the price tag goes way up.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to weigh those decisions based on your budget.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You do a great job. FrankFontana.net. All right. You have some sought after tickets that you want to give away too.
And yes.
We're going to take a break. Do you want to discuss what it is first? Do you want to wait?
Well,
what
let's just say this. It involves the iconic Hall of Fame band Chicago.
Tried and true, a local treasure, still playing music and still sounding great. And I bet everybody can remember words to almost every song.
And should we tell them how they're going to win? Or should we wait on that?
I don't think we've figured that out yet.
I think Bill and I did.
Let's wait. Oh, did we? We did.
We did.
Yeah, we did. All right. Well, let's wait. But everybody has a chance for some Chicago tickets.
That's
coming
right.
up in just a little bit with Frank Fontana. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Frank Fontana is with us. It's Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. Frank is a fantastic designer. He's a lifestyle expert. And you really do cover a lot of things on your Frank Fontana show, Sunday afternoons from 1 to 3. We're talking about a healthy home this past week.
We were, yeah. And I put out there, I did all this like blood work. I had this like doctor from Detroit come in who's like a anti-aging expert, and he pulled the full panel blood on me, and we revealed it live on the air, and I guess I'm not going to die.
Oh, congratulations.
No. Good, I just want to put it out there. I'm going to live for
Excellent.
A long time,
That's
but
great.
My you know my hormones are a little off, so he's going to balance me. He's going to do all this stuff.
Don't pay her. That's my favorite joke. I'm sorry.
Yes, and then we talked about how your house could be making you sick. That the mold, and there's household chemicals that are, like, you know, you don't think about, but you know, the off-gassing of these things are horrific
for you. Bad ventilation. That's a
problem. Bad ventilation.
We had, back when our house was built, it was beautiful clapboard wood in the 1860s. And then people would come door to door and sell asbestos tiles to put on the outside of your house that were not pretty. They were flat and covered up the beautiful woodwork, but yet they were allegedly fireproof and you wouldn't have to paint them. So people put them on their houses.
Sure.
About 10 years ago, we decided to have it checked. It was definitely asbestos tiles. We had to get a company that wore, like, the space suits.
Yeah.
They ripped it all down. They disposed of it properly and revealed this gorgeous clapboard siding that we had a few spots we had to fix. But there are trends and there are things. I mean, that's what people did. They thought, no painting.
Right.
Let's get this put on.
I mean, look at the, what was that, Easy Oven Off? That stuff that you used to clean your oven.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Spray stuff.
We talked about that on Sunday and how toxic that was. And I remember my mom, we used to, look how, can we spray it, put the oven on so you're baking the chemicals.
And you
but
smelled.
You had to leave your house for like 11
or 12. We
never did. Oh, you didn't? You
no,
stayed in the
house. Like, we went in the next room. They're like, just as long as you don't go near the stove.
Let's open the back door.
This is
that'll help.
I look the way I look today. Mom. I'm mad at you.
Frank has also brought with us some special hard-to-get tickets of a private Chicago concert that's happening.
Are you trying to
happening.
Buy people's love, Frank? Is
no,
that what you're
you
trying
know,
to do?
Just, I'm a nice guy. I like to give back.
All right.
You know, and I just happened to come across, you know, a friend of mine is the manager over at Chicago, the band Chicago.
Oh, nice.
And he said, hey, Frank.
Name the song.
25 or 6 to 4?
No, how about Saturday?
That's it. Oh, my God. I'm just blown away at your expertise.
I know, Bill. Anyway, I got two sets of four tickets. So that's
are we doing that or are we
total.
Doing
what do you
pairs?
Want, whatever you
what
want
did
to
you
do.
Decide, Bill?
Depends. I mean, so here's what we're going to do. Let's just base it on how many people text in.
All right.
How about that? If we get a boatload of people who want to go see Chicago Thursday night at 7 p.m. over
that's
at the
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, folks. Over at the Wintrust. No, that's. Is it tomorrow night? Today,
no, no, I'm sorry. Two nights from now.
Thursday night.
Confusing me.
But this week.
It's the new Wintrust Arena Concert Hall over that DePaul University has. It's a private event, so you're going to get these like kind of VIP experience. Great seats. And here's how you can win. Bill is wearing a special pair of underwear.
You don't know that.
I think I'm just thinking. I'm just talking out loud.
It just got weird.
And he wants you to guess what color they are.
Oh, come on, really? All right.
He does. He told me it's during the break.
All right.
As does Wendy. Right, Wendy?
Yeah, I can't. I don't. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll do that. If you can guess the color.
I'm being used.
You are. Do you feel like a piece
How
of meat
does
right
it feel?
Now?
I sure do. Yeah. I love it.
But,
it's about
you know,
time.
And people know you, Bill. People know that it could be some kind of comic book related.
It could be. It
do they make adult underoos?
They don't.
I believe they do.
They really should.
So this is how you win. You got to guess what
just
color.
Just guess the color.
panties that Bill's wearing.
He's what did you say? Wearing panties.
Undies?
I don't know what color you're wearing. So write it down.
But I will say this, folks. He went outside to check his own color underwear.
I wanted to make sure because I get dressed in the dark, Frank.
Yeah, I hear you.
Not because it's dark in my house, but they take me to an undisclosed location and they make me put my pants on.
Somebody wants to know if the color is puce.
Oh, that's not
puce.
Nice. That's not nice. Do I tell you or do I tell Jasmine?
I don't know who's watching
tell Jasmine,
the text.
Yeah. Right. You got to see those texts flying in. All right, so that's how you win. We'll have the ticket. I have them right here. Tickets right in front of me. If you want to hop on WGNRadio.com/watch, you can see me holding up these tickets. I will be there as well. I got some good tickets, too. I want to go and see the band.
They are amazing. They really are. FrankFontana.net is how people reach you.
Yep.
Now, since you have added real estate broker to your resume, you had some tips on how to make a home sell quickly?
Yes. The tips I've been using in my design business, you know, right now we've kind of shifted things to the Fontana Real Estate and Design Group. So applying the design elements to the real estate side of things, you know, a couple tricks that you may or may not like. You know, for instance, I talked about having a puppy. But dogs and cats for selling a house, like odor, litter boxes, dog bowls. Not everybody likes pets.
I love pets, but when we bought our house, I think there was one spot that pet eliminated because now my pet eliminates there.
Definitely. And did it, I mean, obviously it didn't bother you, but
well,
because you have a dog.
Yes.
And you're a dog person. So most people aren't. You got to neutralize all that stuff. Even, you know, even if it's an inconvenience, put the dog bowls away, freshen up the house, get that odor out as best as you can, and make sure there's no...
Do you have to disclose that? Do you have to say we had... Like, what if they say, do you have any pets?
That comes next, you know...
The next step?
The next step, right. First is the showing. You know, do I like the house or not the house? Then I'll get into the nitty-gritty, because if you don't like the house, no bother getting into the details of it all. Some quick fixes. You always want to freshen up paint. You can change out door handles, cabinet hardware. You know, definitely fix any leaks. That's, you know, people are always like, oh, I'll just leave it the next owner. You know, I'll just take it. You know, you'll get beat up on that stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't people do this, though, while they're enjoying their house? It's always strange.
Great question.
You live there for years. Don't let your door handles and stuff get all rotted away. Put new ones on there.
I've been in situations where I've designed for somebody who was selling. Yeah. And at the time when I was done, they said, I'm not selling.
Right.
I fell back in love with my house.
How about that?
Yeah, that's crazy. Here's an interesting one that people don't think of. Clean your closets out.
To show that there's more room than there really is.
Take away literally 50% of the crap hanging in your closet, because we all know you're trying to still fit into the skinny pants from high school that you're like just banking on one day. I'm getting back in those puppies. Get rid of those. Put them in storage up in the attic for the time being, and give the illusion. If you're not going to expand your closet, give the illusion of more space. Put away, you know, the 100 pair of shoes and leave 5. It makes a huge difference.
All right, we have 30 seconds, so give us one more, and then we got to figure out who's winning these tickets
to go see
Chicago.
You know, I would say the most important, obviously, kitchens and baths, make them look as great as you can if you're not remodeling them. But first impressions are everything. Don't be lazy when it comes to the showing.
And the entryway, like the first thing when you walk in the house is pretty important,
isn't
it?
It's so important, and so is the organization in the house. If your house is not perfect, it's okay, but at least give it a shot. Give it a go to make that showing look as best as it can.
What about this? I heard this. You want to bake cookies or some sort of a baked good so that smell is wafting around the house and people go, oh.
It doesn't hurt. You know, then again, if your client is allergic to chocolate chips, you're screwed.
When we went to look at our house prior to buying it, there was really soft classical music playing and there was some kind of cinnamon simmering on the stove.
Agents typically
did kind of work.
So the brokers typically do that to entice.
Do they really?
Yeah. I mean, listen, the world of real estate agents and brokers, you know, you got to have a differentiating factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel I'm lucky because I'm coming from a platform of design celebrity and I have a radio show and I am up with technology.
Mm-hmm.
I have cutting edge methods that people don't even know about.
Right.
So for me, that's my differentiator. But, you know, for the common broker, they're looking for any angle they can, whether it's coffee mugs, whether it's, you know, cooked chocolate chip cookies, mm-hmm. you know, or scented popcorn, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying everything.
How do people reach you if they need any design or any selling?
Well, they could reach me at my email, frank@frankfontana.net. They can give me a call. My number's up on the website. Go to frankfontana.net. You could reach me at Coldwell Banker Hinsdale's, where I'll be home basing out of.
Okay, and Chicago, it's a special private concert that's being held Thursday night.
7 p.m., yep.
All right, the winner's here.
There's at least one winner. I'm pouring through the...
What color underwear is Bill wearing? That's what gets you to Chicago. Shut up, Bertrand. I have nothing to do with this.
Very advanced.
You just embarrassed Steve. So I found at least one winner. I'm pouring through the rest to see if anybody else. A lot of people guessed cartoon characters. That was incorrect. And a couple people guessed Clear, and that's very upsetting.
Clear.
Shoot. Wait. Frank, do you know what color underwear you're wearing right now?
I do.
Do you?
Bill had to go
do
check.
I have no idea.
I couldn't remember.
Mine are fans. I have purple ones.
Nice.
All right, so we have one winner.
What else
winner
did Prince leave you in his will?
Yes. One winner on the text line. Should we do the rest at 312-981-7200?
Sure.
What numbers?
5 and 6.
25 or something.
5 and 6. Callers 5 and 6, Jazzy, 312-981-7200. And if you text the right color of Bill's undies, we will get a hold of you.
I'm like a pawn in this game, Wendy.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Frank.
All right. We have given away one pair of tickets to see Chicago Thursday night, because what color is your underpants?
Gray.
All right, one winner on the text line, and then callers 5 and 6.
Technically
Jasmine.
Charcoal, Wendy, but nobody guessed charcoal. Gray is the closest. We rounded up.
Totally not my fault, Bertrand. We're going to the streams.